Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we want to take a look at verse number 25 here, and then we'll continue on from there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 25. Hebrews 12, verse 25, the scripture says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Verse 26 continues the sentence, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And that latter part there is what, that last verse is what we want to concentrate on this morning. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings. We thank you for the day that you've made, Lord, for us to assemble together to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's come. Lord, we thank you for each of the membership of the church. And Lord, the way you've blessed us together. We pray for those who are unable to be here with us this morning. We pray, Father, your help and blessings upon them. Lord, you know the needs at hand, and Lord, you know what needs to be healed, what needs to be helped, what needs to be changed. We pray, Father, that you'd work in that, that we might be gathered here together, Lord, at the appointed times to worship you. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us that we would worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, you'd help us with your word. Give us understanding of it, application of it. And Lord, that we might rejoice in it. We might be built up in your most holy faith. Lord, we might be edified as your children. And we pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved. Oh, Father, that they would see that Jesus is shaking things, Lord, and we pray that you might show them Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, work as you only can. Lord, use us as instruments and tools in your hands. Lord, help us to be the mouthpiece that you'd want us to be and that'd be pleasing unto you. Lord, and make your word effectual in the hearts of those not saved. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Hebrews 25, it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth," okay, it's connected to the next verse, "much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven," all right, "whose voice then shook the earth when he spake," okay, you hear that, "but now hath he promised, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And so these shakings that have happened and the shakings that will come, I believe, are connected with the speaking of the Lord when he spoke and when he will speak. And so with the Lord's help and blessing, we want to take a look at that this morning. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, after this cloud of witnesses that we're told about in Hebrews 11, we're encouraged in them. They were faithful. They were faithful to the Lord unto the end. They were faithful by obedience to the Lord. They heard the Lord and they believed the Lord, and it manifested itself in their lives. Folks not perfect, folks very human like you and me, but saved. The Lord's people, the Spirit of God living with them. We're admonished in the first part of this chapter 12, because of this cloud of witness, this cloud of witnesses, if you will, led by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were faithful to the end. May we be faithful to the end. Amen. And he goes on here in verses 3 and 4 to consider the Lord Jesus Christ and even that endured that contradiction of sinners against himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the unjust suffering of the Lord, how unfair, how inordinate, what a travesty of justice indeed that it was, but he endured it. "We've not resisted so that our blood has left our bodies." He did. "Our forebears have, but may we look unto the Lord and have confidence in and because of him as we live for him." In verses 5 through 11, we're reminded of the chastening of children, that parents who love their children will chasten them because they love them. They desire a good thing, the chastisement of children because of love and a desire for godly character to be instilled and manifested in each one. That's what the Lord wants for us, and that's what he works in us. And then in verses number 12 through 17, be encouraged and look to the Lord. Don't doubt him and don't be unbelieving of his promises. That's what this is talking to us about. And then for our message, we want to pick up here in verse number 18, read the context of our text, and then get from it what the Lord has for us here this morning. With the Lord's helping, we want to preach the message this morning, the Lord Jesus is shaking things up. The Lord Jesus is shaking things up. In verse number 18, the scripture says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore." I'm going to read a little bit about this in Exodus and what it's talking about. God Almighty, there from Mount Sinai, from Mount Horeb, spoke directly to the people of God. And they said to Moses, "No, no, no. We don't want it that way anymore. You go and talk to the Lord, and whatever he says, that's what we'll do." And of course, it wasn't so because they did not obey in that first covenant, if you will. Verse 20, "For they would not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." That was the commandment to Moses. Set a perimeter. You and the leadership of Israel, you set a perimeter around the mount. And don't let anybody that's not ordered by the Lord to come by it, pass by it, or they'll be killed. And so terrible, verse number 21, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Turn over here to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, before the giving of the Ten Commandments, we read a little bit about this and what this passage is referring to and what we're told about in these things. This is what Israel and Moses was called unto, but it's not that way with us, okay? It's not that way with us. The same Lord and the same God, but he hasn't called us to service and to obedience in this way. And at Exodus chapter 19, verse number 16, we'll pick it up. "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud." This trumpet, it just blew and blew and blew and blew. It just sounded and sounded and sounded. "And the mount quaked greatly, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long." Now, let me back up. I jumped verses there on you. "And it came to pass," verse 16, "on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings, thick cloud on the mountain, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." They're shaking. There wasn't a one that wasn't shaken. As we would say, they were nervous. They were afraid. They were frightened. When's the last time you saw somebody that scared? When's the last time that you and I have been that scared? We don't have it in our lives to get scared that bad much. But when's the last time you saw somebody shaken because they were afraid? That's the way it was with the whole camp. "And Moses," verse 17, "brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord had descended, because the Lord descended upon it in fire." The Lord's there. And there are those that believe that they have found this mountain, and if it is so that they've found it, the one that they say is indeed Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, it's black because it's been burned. It's different than any of the landscape around that area because the presence of the Lord has been there even thousands of years ago. "And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." Verse number 19. "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder," it's sounding and it's getting louder and more intense and louder and louder and louder. "Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze and many of them perish. Here, this account of what we read over in Hebrews 12, and I invite you to turn back there to Hebrews 12. This is what that's talking about there in those verses 18 through 21. And he says at the beginning there in verse 18, "For ye are not come unto the mount." It's not that way with us. The church house isn't on a smoke, and the ground out here shaking, and a sound of a trumpet sounding loudly and getting more and more intense. And then the voice of God call that the pastor come forth and the Lord speak that the people might hear. We're not called to service that way. we've been, if you will, saved from that. It was right. It was in the time of Israel. And when the Lord called Israel and birthed his nation out of Egypt, it was done in that day. And it was right. It was for the purpose of God. But you and I have not been called to that. We've all had times that we've been afraid going to church services. But usually when that's been the case, it's been because of some turmoil or strife amongst the body. Amen. Not because of the Lord. But the Lord invites us, come and worship me and fellowship with me and enjoy the fellowship of one another and praise and honor and glorify and extol my name for what I've done for you. Amen. Because of who I am. It's a peaceable service and worship that we have, isn't it? It is. Well, look what he goes on to say in verse 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion," oh, a blessed place, "and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Well, we've not arrived yet, but that's our expectation, isn't it? And when we meet together, we have glimpses and a revealing, an uncovering of that blessedness that we'll have with the Lord forever. Jerusalem will be headquarters for us all. And I tell you what, if I understand what the Scripture says about the Lord's churches and the people the Lord's put in His churches and the bride of Christ, we'll be there, and we'll be there a lot. And I tell you, we'll like it. And there'll be a smile on every face, and there will be joy because of the Lord and what He's done for us and what He's given us and how He seeks for eternity to fellowship with His people. It's a blessing indeed that we've been given, isn't it? We're not come to that mount, but to Mount Zion, to that city of the living God. He goes on to say, to that innumerable company of angels that are the Lord's ministering spirits for us. Hadn't there been times in your life where the Lord, no doubt, used His angels to care for you, protect you, watch care over you, bring you what you needed? Amen. Kept us alive before the Lord saved us. Kept us alive even afterwards. We know that it's so, and they'll be there too. Verse number 23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, we will be gathered together." One day I'm moving my church membership, amen. The Lord's moving it. And we'll be there with the Lord and His church and His people forever. Oh, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn," Jesus being the firstborn, firstborn of God, firstborn from the dead, "which are written in heaven." My name's written down there. I am the Lord's, and He is mine. If you're here and saved, your name's written there too in the Lamb's Book of Life. There it is. And it's known. It's known because you believed. That's how it's known. That's how we know it, because you believed. And it says here, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and which are written in heaven, to the God and judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." The justified, because of the righteousness of Christ, in that last day we will be perfect like Christ. A body like His. No more defiled mind. No more corrupt body. Oh, it's a blessing, isn't it? Does that make you sad? Does it make you frown? Does that make the corners of your mouth drop? Does that depress you? No. It's joy. Joy indeed what the Lord has done. And not only that, we are come, verse number 24, "and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, than that of Abel's sacrifice. Abel offered a lamb as he was commanded and taught by his father, commanded of the Lord, taught by his father Adam. But you know what Jesus Christ has done for his people? He's given himself. He shed his own blood. There on Calvary's tree some 2,000 years ago or so, the Lord shed his blood and he applied it on the mercy seat in heaven for me. If you're here and saved, he did so for you. A particular redemption. Amen. The sacrifices in the Old Testament that always speak and point to Christ were for a particular people. Amen. It's that way. There was blood put on the mercy seat for you and for me. And that's what we've been brought to. And we're reminded of it. To be there with Jesus and to what? Remember what he's done. Verse number 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Child of God, don't refuse him. Don't not believe what the Lord says. Don't refuse him. Because remember, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. When did the Lord speak on earth? Well, we saw it there in Exodus, didn't he? From the mount. From the mount he spake. And his presence caused the place to burn. And his presence caused the place to shake and to tremble. Moses said, I'm afraid. And Moses was the Lord's. But he says, I was afraid. Evidently, it is so that that's something that the Apostle Paul was impressed to the Lord or moved on by the Lord to write, or was something that was passed down in Jewish history that was known that Moses said. Well, we don't exactly see that from the scripture, but it's scripture now that it's in Hebrews. Amen. We know that it's so. And he says, if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, in verse number 26, whose voice then shook the earth when he spake? Here. If they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape when we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, speaking about previous things. We're going to look at that more. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. How's he going to shake it? He's going to shake it with his word, isn't he? Going to shake it with his power, just like he always has. And he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, is shaking things up. We took a look over here in Exodus chapter 19 about how that the Lord did shake. And said, well, I thought that was the Father, Brother Jim. I thought that was, you know, God Almighty that was doing that. Well, let's take a look, 1 Corinthians. Take a look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see who it was. I tell you what, I think the Scripture tells us. Yes, it was God. But I think it's even in more particular than that, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1 through 5, the Scripture says here, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. He's speaking this to a Gentile church. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were there under Moses' ministry is what it's talking about. They were immersed in that deliverance of the Lord. They were immersed in the Word of God coming forth and the power of God being manifested on the earth. And did all eat of that same spiritual meat? And did all drink of that same spiritual drink? Verse 4, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It was Christ that was there shaking that mountain, burning that mountain because of the contamination of sin and wickedness. The mountain smoked and it was on a fire. That was the Lord. That was the angel of God, if you will, capital A. That was the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. How? How were they overthrown? Yeah, by sin. They were overthrown by disobedience. They were overthrown by not hearing God. Even when he so terribly spoke and shook the earth. But you know what? There's other times And this is what's led. I was asked by one of the members about this passage, and that led to this message. Turn it, take a look over here in Matthew chapter 27. Let's take a look here. I'll tell you what, this is very interesting how the Lord cracked this open and broke it out, and that my soul was just blessed by it. I pray that I can convey it to you as well as the Lord helped me with it. It was just a blessing. The Lord, He was there on Horeb, on Mount Sinai, and I tell you what, the mountain shook and the mountain burned, and He spoke. And even His own people feared and trembled because He is a great and mighty God, a holy and righteous God. But I tell you what, in talking about past tense, there were some other times that the Lord shook this earth. And we read about it here in chapter 27 of Matthew. We'll pick it up here in verse number 50. The Lord's been on the cross. And we see here in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. All things have been accomplished. Everything's been accomplished. Even that which was needed to be fulfilled in the Scriptures that He thought of, He said, I thirst. And they gave that to Him. And then He died. He died. God the Son died. It had never happened before. Won't ever happen again. But He died. I tell you what, it was monumental. You know what? In dying, He fulfilled everything that Moses had been given and commanded. Right. He spake then when He gave it, and the earth shook. And look what it says here in the Scripture. And Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, from the top to the bottom. Judaism is out of business. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent, because at the death of the Lord, God spoke, and the earth did shake. Hear it. Hear it. When God speaks, the earth trembles and shakes. And you know what? At the Lord's death, at the giving of the law, at the giving of that which was going to show us that we were guilty, we need a Savior, we have no hope of salvation in and of ourselves. The only one that could keep it, when He did keep it, He spoke yet again. He spake and shook the earth when He gave it. He spake and shook the earth when He died and fulfilled it. You hear that? And then let's read on. And here's a part that seems to be confusing, but I think the Lord will help us in it. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, verse 51 of Matthew 27. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, listen, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. It happened. It happened. But see, at the Lord's death, there was a shaking of the earth, a quaking of the earth. And then Matthew, Levi tells us about these things and writes of these things. But let's put with this chapter 28, verse number 2. Let's read in verse 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Listen. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Huh? The earth did quake before, but now there's a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Let's read back over here in chapter 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. I believe that's signifying of His death. And at His death, and the graves were opened. This is speaking about what happened there at His death, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, and came out of the graves after His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, lost sinner friend, the Lord spoke on Sinai there in the day of Israel and Moses and the giving of the law, and the earth did shake. The Lord Jesus Christ came and became a man and fulfilled that law that He gave there on Sinai, and at His death, the earth did shake. And you know what? 3 days and three nights, 3 days and three nights later, at his resurrection, the earth did shake. You know what I wonder? And that's all I've got. Who was it of the saints which arose? Who was it that was there and presented themselves in the city? What happened to them? We've got questions about that, don't we? But what could it not be that there at Joseph's tomb, there of Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, that new sepulcher wherein the Lord was laid, that for some radius, any of the saints that were buried in that area, when Jesus, the first fruits, rose from the dead, evidently there was some that came forth and were a witness of his resurrection in Jerusalem. The Lord spake once again. I don't know who they were. I don't know how far outspread it was. But I remember in parallel to this in a slight way, remember how it was when Elisha was buried? And then perchance, there's a man who was dead that was laid upon the bones, upon the tomb, or upon the bones of that prophet of God. Remember what happened to that dead man? He came alive, didn't he? Because the Spirit of God was mighty in Elisha. Is there any other whose spirit is not as great? Is there any other in whom the Spirit is greater than that of our Lord Jesus Christ? When he came back from the dead, he is life. He is the resurrection. And there were those, according to the providence and working of God, who were dead days, weeks, centuries, maybe even farther back than that, who came alive and were a witness and a testimony of his resurrection in Jerusalem. Let's read it. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept. Now, that's what death is to the Lord, of this body is sleep. Amen? We've seen that. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. See, there's the key. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Don't you wonder if one of them was David? Could have been. Maybe Samuel. Maybe Solomon. Was it Abraham? Because some of those places, well, Abraham is off, he bought a burial place, and that is in a different place. But other of the saints that were buried there in that region that might have not have been, even been in graves that were known. They rose from the dead at the resurrection of the Lord. And when the Lord spake by his resurrection, the earth trembled. When he spake by his death, the earth trembled. When he spake by the only way that men could be saved, by the law that he would fulfill, the earth trembled. All this is past tense. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 26, whose voice then shook the earth. Those things are past tense at the writing of the apostle. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Listen, Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, is shaking things up. He's shook. Is that the right tense? He has shaken. And he will shake. Let's look at this promise here. This, he said, he's done it. He's shaken, shook the earth. And he is going to shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Let's look here. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Let's take a look over here. Revelation chapter 5. In verse number 1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And an angel in verse 2 says, who's worthy to open the book? Verse 3, no man in heaven, no man in the earth, no man under the earth was able to open the book, what's it say, or look thereon. What do you think John's doing? Is he kind of glancing at it and looking away because of its brightness, because of the glory of the one that sits on the throne. The one on the throne is able to hold it. That's the Father. He's able to hold it. But you know what? Of all the inhabitants that has ever been, there's not one worthy to look on the book. Not one worthy to touch the book. Not one worthy to open the book. John weeps much in verse number 4. One of the elders say, don't weep. Don't weep, John. Because, I love this verse, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Son of Man and the Son of God, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Jesus, the Lamb, he's able to take the book, isn't he? He's able to take the book. He's not only able to look on it, he's able to take it. And he's able to open it. We're going to see that here. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. He's worthy. Why? Because he was slain. And he's redeemed us. And he's redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made, verse number 10, us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You're worthy. You're the Savior. You're the Redeemer. You're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beasts and the elders, and there's all kinds of them there, near to be innumerable. And they're singing, worthy is the Lamb. And every creature in heaven was praising him. Verse number 14, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. And verse number 1 of chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. You see that? The Lamb, he's worthy to open the book, isn't he? He's able to open the book. He is holy before God. He is that. He's signed and sealed and delivered to the Father, if you will. He's accepted. He is the one. He is the Savior. He is God Almighty, having come in the flesh. The God-man, the Lamb of God. He's able to open the seals. And when he does, listen to what it says. He opened the seal. And in verse number 12 of chapter 6, let's read what it says. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. There's seven seals on the book. And so he gets down and tells about the other five, and then he opens the sixth seal, and lo, what's it say? There was a great earthquake. Hear that? When the Lord speaks, when the Lord works, he's shaking this old earth, and he's going to shake the earth in that time. Listen to what it says. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed, and as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. John, looking forward in the foreknowledge of God, seeing what would be, it being revealed unto him there in the throne room of God, if you will, what would be. And the Lamb opens up that sixth seal. And the Lord starts shaking this earth again. Because now, brothers and sisters, he's shaking this earth in judgment. Sinner, without Christ, he's shaking this earth in judgment. And he's going to shake it like it's never been shook before. That's what it talks about over there in Hebrews where we read. And all these things come about, and the kings of the earth and the great men, it doesn't matter who it is, they flee and they seek to hide themselves. Verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the Father, if you will. Hide us from the Son. For the great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? We've got a few others that we're going to take a look at. But for the sake of time, we'll not look at them this morning. We'll look at them, Lord willing, this afternoon. But back in Hebrews chapter 12, let's just take a look back over here. And let's hear what the Scripture says. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Lost sinner, you hear that. Hear the Lord. He has already shown His power that when He's spoken, He's shaken this earth, and He will shake this earth, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Listen to what's going to happen. And this word, verse 27, yet once more, one more time, He's going to do some shaking, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Listen, if you're hanging on to that which is temporal, if you're hanging on to that which is carnal, it can be shaken and it's going to be lost. Hear it. It will be destroyed. If it can shake, it's going to be lost. And you know how you are without Christ? You're shakable right now. Without Christ, you have no hope. You have no foundation. You're on the shifting sand of self and sin and the world and Satan and wickedness. You have no footing, and you can be shaken, and you will be shaken, like we read here and just in this one account of that sixth seal in the book of the Revelation. But those things are going to be shaken, and there's going to be a great shaking. And this word, verse 27, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. If it can be shaken, it's going to be removed. Hear that. But what's it go on to say? As of the things that are made, those things that are carnal, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You know what can't shake? That which is founded on Christ. The security of the soul of the believer in Christ, the one, the sinner that has been saved by Him, is solid on that rock. That rock that was there thousands of years ago in the deserts of Arabia with the children of Israel there at Sinai. If you're founded on that rock, you can't be shaken. You can't be shaken. And then the things that can't be shaken in this last shaking will remain. Verse number 28, listen. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God. Listen, serve God acceptably. Serve God with reverence. And serve God with godly fear. Because child of God, lost sinner, you need to hear it. But child of God, don't forget, our God is a consuming fire. That I don't understand all about it, but I tell you what, as time goes on and what the Word of God says, I believe that this thing about us having a body like unto Christ is going to make us to where we can live. We're going to be so changed. The Scripture says we will be changed. We'll be like Christ. We'll have a body like His because we'll be able to see Him. We'll be able to look on Him. We'll be able to be in His presence. And the white hot righteousness and glory of God, which otherwise would consume us, we will be able to be in the presence of it because we will have His glory in ourselves. But if you don't have that, you can't remain. If you don't have that by Christ, you can be shaken. We want to close with a verse over in 1 Peter chapter 4. It speaks along the same way in a sense. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17, this old world, I tell you, it's getting set up for the end, isn't it? Got a new pope coming on the scene. He may come on quick. Tell you what, I don't know, but it sure is interesting, isn't it? We look on. look on to the things of the world. It's just getting the situation of the world and the functioning of the world is just getting impossible. The whole world is turning into grease, isn't it? And I'm talking about the nation. And it's interesting that they've fallen as they have financially. They're trying to be propped up, and they reject what's needed to prop it up. Isn't that interesting that it's Greece? Made so much headlines. In 1 Peter chapter 4, listen, verse number 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Remember what it said in Hebrews 12? The Lord chastens His own. If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? They'll be shaken, and they won't remain. That's what their end will be. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, we were saved with much work on the Lord's part, weren't we? Wasn't impossible for Him. But it was different for Him, wasn't it? The Lord had never died. God doesn't die. But it took the Lord to die to bring us salvation. God had never been a man, but He became a man so He could be a suitable sacrifice, one suitable for those He would come to save. And He did that for us. And He bears that body. He lives in that body. And if the righteous scarcely be said, with much difficulty, oh, not impossible to the Lord, with God all things are possible. Amen? With men, salvation of the soul, salvation of men is impossible. But with God all things are possible. And so if the righteous scarcely be saved, listen, you that are here without Christ, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The Lord Jesus Christ has and will shake things up. Are you shakable? Or are you solid in Christ? Are you hoping for a better way and a better time and that maybe all this isn't so? Tell you what, hope on, because it's so, it's true. He spoke in the past and the earth did quake. He will speak and move and reveal His purpose and plan and His judgment in the future, and the earth will shake. We're going to see there's, I think, four other occurrences of this that we're going to see in the book of the Revelation. Lord willing, this afternoon, I encourage you to be here for the message. At the end, there's going to be a shaking that has been like none other. I find it very interesting that the Scripture bears it out that way.